Spawnily is the premier podcast spotlighting people of color. Every week, we talk news, what we've been playing, and tell you who's invited to the cookout. Our show is all about talking about gaming through a prism of blackness, because we are the culture. Welcome to Bukkake, y'all.
Yo, what's good, everybody? This is the Spawn of Me podcast with Khalif Adams. I'm your host, Khalif Adams. I hope you are doing fantastically. I hope you're having a wonderful week. I hope you're having a fantastic and super dope Wednesday. I am super excited to be here rocking with all of you on the front page of Twitch, doing it up big time, doing it big style, and that's the way we do it here in Bukkake. It has been a really good week. You know, the NBA playoffs have started. The games have begun. The game last night between the Lakers and the Wolves was a wild one. Had me up all night cheering and screaming at the TV. I'm waiting for my Knicks to get ready to go into the playoffs and start their run and get all of those business in. It has just been a fantastic and amazing space to be in if you are a fan of sports. You know, we've been in a little bit of a weird spot in terms of the show, in terms of doing it here and streaming it. I've just been super busy with work and trying to figure out what's the good balance between when I can stream and when I can and when we put out shows and all that. And there'll be more conversations and information about all that kind of stuff moving forward. A little bit later in the month, we'll be having some good convos about what the future of Spawn on Me looks like and all those things as well. But I am very excited because we have a fantastic guest with us on today. Again, you know, super excited and happy that Twitch gave me the chance to talk to Dan Clancy, the CEO of the platform today. I'm very excited to bring him on. So let's bring on Dan to the show. Everybody in the chat, we're going to hang out and talk to Dan for a little bit, give him some love in the chat and say what's up to everybody in there. Hey, Dan, how are you doing? How's things?
Khalif, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. And I also enjoyed the games last night. And I will say that I think this year is probably in the Western Conference, it's going to be the best year ever for the playoffs. I think you can argue that there are six teams that could legitimately, you know, make it to the finals with a reasonable chance. There are six teams that honestly feel like they have a good chance of going to the finals. And I've been around a long time, and that has never been true.
It is a really interesting space, right? Like, you know, we're going to talk about the business of all of it, but it is very rare you get to talk to the Twitch CEO about basketball. And I am, you know, yeah. I know that, you know, you coach some folks on the side, you know, on the family side and doing some of that work. And also, you know, you're a big sports fan in that way. It is wild the way that these playoffs are going and seeing just how all of those teams are working. You know, I, as a Knicks fan and diehard one who's now living in Portland, it is a really interesting space to see how both teams are doing and how those folks are in that space. Got to ask you, what's your favorite team? Who are you rooting for? Anybody in particular?
Well, so, you know, I've had many teams over the years since most recently I was living in the Bay Area. It's like the Warriors are probably at the top, yeah. But I lived in Boston for 4 years back when Larry Bird was there. And so, you know, like last year it was tough for me in Boston versus Warriors. And I go back and forth, interestingly, if I'm watching any one game.
Yeah.
Right. You know, my emotions like, no, I want Boston to win. No, I want the Warriors to win. I happen to like LeBron too. I just think he's an interesting, you know, so I think each series will be different. And who can't like the Grizzlies and Ja, you know, So it's sort of these personalities. If Zion came back, I'm from New Orleans.
Yeah.
So the Pelicans, they weren't there when I was there, but I went to Duke undergrad. So, and went to a ton of basketball games, had went to the Final Four many times. And so, you know, if the Pelicans can make noise and Zion is back, it's just a jumble for me.
Yeah. It's one of those things where, you know, the thing that I'm constantly thinking about is, there's been conversation about the transition between the league, right? Where it's been, you know, when we had, you know, God, I'm old. So like Magic and Bird layers of it and all of that kind of being in the space. And then you had the Jordan era. Then you have now the kind of Warriors era with Steph and LeBron and so many good players here. And it feels like the league in and of itself is in a really good spot where, you know, that worry about the future of the league was really, really high. But it feels like now with the player caliber that we have and the breadth and depth of the teams that we have across the league, where the conferences aren't really imbalanced anymore in that way, It feels like we're in a good spot for all that. Yeah.
It's also interesting that it used to be that the Epics were dominated by like one or two players. Of course, Bird and Magic, and then Michael, and then LeBron. Yeah. And you'd have other folks. The interesting thing now is it's not dominated by one star.
Yeah.
Whether it's Ja or Zion or, you know, Luka or, you know, Durant, or I think actually if you look, this the next 7 years will be unique in that it'll be dominated by eight stars, not one or two like that just stand out above everybody.
Yeah, I'm excited to see again like how this playoff series in this year will be a really interesting defining moment for the league. I think it is the time where we're seeing the torch be passed in a really big way. So that's gonna be cool to see in that way. So
yeah.
Sadly, I did not bring you on the show to come talk about the NBA all day, even though we should. Now I feel like we should just have a podcast about the NBA. We could totally do it and make it happen.
That sounds good. Khalif, I'll join you. And by the way, you mentioned you're in Portland. I didn't know you're in Portland. I'm an hour away in White Salmon, Washington.
Oh, yeah. That's super. Okay, yeah. Cool. We'll talk offline about hanging out. We'll go fishing.
One of the things I do, I moved here because I do a lot of whitewater kayaking.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe sometime you can come out here and I'll bring you on the White Salmon River and get you in the water.
I would love it. That would be super fun. I went once for a work outing and was scared out of my mind. So it was fun. I learned a lot. So I want to dig into, you know, again, I think Twitch is in a really interesting space. I think, you know, you coming on and being at the company for a while and then having the transition from Emmett to you now being the person, you know, with the title on the front of the platform in that way. I think, you know, I'd love to hear your thoughts about kind of like where the platform is now and what are some of the real challenges that you're kind of facing moving forward and how you're thinking about where all of those things kind of intertwine. Because I think there's a sentiment from the audience and from a lot of the community that they're worried. You know, there's a worry about, they're seeing conversations about layoffs, they're seeing conversations about, you know, decline in viewership. And also there's a part of that that feels different for them from their viewership layers of it. I'd love to hear your thoughts about when kind of where you think things are at and kind of, you know, the current state of Twitch.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, first of all, as humans, we tend to be very relative in terms of where things are at right now, right? Versus where things are at before. And when I first came to Twitch, it was before COVID and looking at kind of predictions and forecasts and looked at where we thought Twitch would go. And then, of course, COVID hit and COVID drove this massive growth of Twitch, far greater than what had been expected. And then we didn't retain, like after COVID, there was some return to normal, as with many platforms, right? The interesting thing is, unlike many of those platforms kind of return to where they were before COVID, right? If you look at, you know, some Peloton or these other things that like, and that wasn't the case for Twitch, actually. We are still well above where we thought we would have been pre-COVID. Mm. That, in fact, we're bigger, we've got more creators, we have more creators doing well. However, the expectations increase because during COVID, like there was more money flowing to our creators. And so then people see as things, you know, get back to normal, relatively people like, oh, wait, you know, I had a little bit more. And so I think that's one thing that's like just important to it. We just have to be honest and to grapple with that. But the reality is Twitch is in a very strong position. I feel very good about where we are. You know, you mentioned the layoffs. That's something that we looked at, and like many companies, we said, "Look, we think we're not at the right size for where we need to be in terms of driving this business long term and driving value to our creators." And so we made the hard decision. It was a very difficult decision, but ultimately, I think it's the right decision long term for the company. But I feel very bullish in terms of where Twitch is. And I think ultimately, when you say, "What do I," you know, you ask the question, you know, what do I struggle with? What do I, you know, think that we have to do? I think the biggest thing is, and this is one reason for this interview and for other efforts I'm going to make, we just need to be out there exposing ourselves, engaging with our creators. Because I think it all comes down to trust that we're in it for them. And if you talk about, you know, any feedback of me coming on, you know, the unknown is always scary for people, right? And so then they fill in the blanks. And I think the onus is on us to be out there engaging with our creators, engaging with the platform, spending time with them. And then as they build trust that, you know, we are really in this to drive value to them, then I think you'll see, you know, a very different feeling. But that takes time.
Yeah, I think one of the, there's always the conversation that happens between folks on the inside and the optics of what that looks like on the external, right? The audience has an idea of what they should see or what they should kind of happen, what should happen from a company that they are very, very, not only financially invested in, but emotionally invested in a lot of those ways. And it sometimes, when there's misalignment, it can feel like either from the audience perspective, you know, me saying this as a fan of the platform and someone who's been there since Justin TV days, you know, there are phases in kind of like eras of the platform in that way. Does it feel like, you know, that visibility that you're hoping to get out there with was something that you heard a lot of feedback from? I know specifically, you know, in circles that I roam in, there would be changes that would happen on platform, or there would be conversations around safety or other layers of the business. And we would say, well, where is the person who would come out in front and say, here's where we're planting a flag, here's where we're deciding to make this decision, and here's why we're doing that? Do you feel like this is a new era for Twitch in that respect, with you taking the mantle and saying, this is a thing that we're going to do more often, and we're going to do it because that was not the case prior?
Yeah, in general, I don't like, I'm not going to use the phrase new era, because in general, those kind of models of new errors are, it suggests that, you know, something's wrong or something's changed. Sure. I believe we can do better. I do think, and I think we had already started this, that we've been very conscious about saying we need to be more transparent. Mm. We need to be out in front. You know, we recently, we published a letter to the community about our plans for the year. We've had a number of our leaders, both in terms of safety and in terms of product and monetization, go on patch notes and go on other things. So, you know, I would say we do have a renewed focus on being out there more, talking more, engaging more. I'm going to do it. I think it's something I enjoy. I think that's just something. Yeah, so we do have a focus on that. I don't think that's just because of me. I think we already were doing that. And I think it's important for us to be out there listening and communicating with the community.
Yeah. I want to dig back into that conversation and what you talked about in terms of COVID and now. Like, we're still in COVID. COVID has not gone away. You know, there have been changes to the ways that we all react to COVID. And I think that has been, you know, good for the ability for people to feel like there's some levels of normalcy coming back to the space. Does it feel like, even within that conversation of you talking about the numbers being, you know, better than what you projected before, that layer of, we have a good foundation that we're continuing to figure out good ways to grow, are you finding that there are still some stumbling blocks there, or some things that you're missing from like, we want to see it get to a certain level and want to get there, but there are some issues or some blockers that are happening that are either kind of coming from the layers of having certain kinds of creators on the platform? Because I know, for instance, there was a big push for a while for, and there still is, a big push for music to be a bigger thing on the platform. You know, I think there was a space that I was really excited about for a while that was about original programming, right? And being able to kind of do some of that work in that space. For the spaces that you are kind of looking and overseeing and kind of forecasting, does it look like there's even more space for that kind of content to grow? Because I think the gaming layer is one that we already know and are connected to, but it does feel like we're seeing some, not contrition, but it doesn't feel like the other kinds of content are bubbling up in a way that feels as big as the gaming content. Is that still a focus of Twitch to kind of bubble up more kinds of content in that way?
So the way I describe this is Twitch's success depends upon our ability to be a platform where our creators can create. Mm. Our streamers are the foundation of Twitch, and they are all creators. On Twitch, they're streamers, but in general, they're creators. And if you look across UGC platforms, all UGC platforms, as they grow, it's because they do things that make it easier for people to express their creative ability. Mm. So if you go back to YouTube, the reason YouTube came about was because of low-cost video cameras that allowed all sorts of people to create videos, right? When you look at Instagram, it was the phone and photographs. Mm. When you look at TikTok, it was their tools to make it easy to make entertaining, you know, 20 to 60 second videos. And they greatly expanded the ability of their users to create interesting content. And same thing with Twitch. When you look at Twitch, the ability to stream allowed this creative ability of the masses to be expressed. Mm. So ultimately, Twitch will succeed when we can create a platform that allows more people to create and engage their audience. Ooh. I believe there's opportunities there in gaming. I don't think we're anywhere close to the opportunity for people that game. I also think there are opportunities outside of gaming. And the way I think of this is, you know, we talk about Twitch being a gaming platform. Twitch is actually a talk platform where people game while they talk. Because the thing that's magical about Twitch is the engagement and the affinity people have for the creators. And people have affinity for a creator not because of how their thumb moves on the controller. Their affinity for the creator is about the creator and the fact that they expose themselves. They're honest. They're talk about whatever is on top of their mind. So I do think there's a lot of opportunity for us to allow other types of creators to express on Twitch. One of the things we've been investing in is guest star, where I think we're just beginning. And part of what that does is, again, it allows different types of creators to interact with people live on screen. For those people who don't know what guest star is, it's basically a variant of being able to do a video call like this, but it allows the audience to come up and engage with the creator. And ultimately, it's going to allow creators to interact with each other. So you talk about music, right? I'm a big music fan. I also sing and play the piano myself. In fact, I streamed on Twitch. I'm going to be doing it regularly. We're all saying just to use the product. I think it's incredibly important. Yeah. One of the things that will enable is something like song circles, where you can have one creator that performs, and then another creator performs, and another creator performs, and they make it easier for them to create, right? Mm. And I would go to you as a podcaster. You know, suppose you had to sit and talk without anyone else with you for 3 hours. That's difficult. So instead, you have people come on your show, and now it's a lot easier for you and me to sit here and chat for 30 minutes, right? So that's one way that we're doing, and there are lots of other things we're thinking about, because the question is, how can we make it easy for someone to hang out for 3 hours and engage with their community? Right now, they game, and that gets their focus, okay? Yep. I actually think making it easy for them to talk to people, we all like talking to people, right? And so that's one of the things. But I think there are a lot of things. And so it's still absolutely a focus. But I wouldn't say it's a focus about making it easier for creators to create. And that includes our gaming creators, because I think all of these features are also incredibly valuable to gaming creators, because ultimately what they're doing is talking and engaging with their community.
Yeah, it is really interesting, because it does wind up being this thing where you see the waterfall effect, right? Where there are particular tools or functions or features that come up onto the platform and you're like, oh, that's a thing that I wouldn't necessarily use for me, but I can see how that would be used for a multitude of different other folks who are thinking about it in that way. I love the idea of the song circles part, because that's really cool. As a person who has some ideas about music that I want to also potentially use on Twitch, but also, again, like as a podcaster, I think that it's a space in which, you know, the struggles that I have in terms of keeping people on platform to kind of stay there, some of that can be offset by tools and functions and features and some of that stuff to kind of make sure that people are in the mix in that way. I do want to lean into something that you talked about in terms of kind of like the ease of use getting onto the platform and how that kind of lends to people building their community. I think one of the bigger conversations around Twitch and around the Twitch community has been about ads. We'll talk about revenue and monetization in a second, but I think even from a base perspective, I think the prevailing sentiment has been that with the growth of the connection and purchase by Amazon, that Twitch has gotten a little bit worse in terms of the viewing experience for folks at home. You know, you go into a room, even with the ad managers and being able to kind of move those things around into a space that feels better and more comprehensive, that it's really hard to feel like you're really going to get engaged with a channel or engaged with the experience when the first thing you get hit with is 4 to 5 ads that could potentially lead to, you know, roll for like 4 or 5 minutes. What are some ways that you're all thinking about continuing to figure out and manage the viewing experience? Because I think that goes into conversations around curation, that goes into conversation about viewing experience, that goes into conversations about like how you as a creator are giving an experience for a viewer. I'd love to hear your thoughts about, you know, how you're thinking about tweaking that in a way that feels beneficial to the creator and also makes that viewing experience a lot better for the person who's jumping on Twitch for the first or second time.
Yeah, so Khalif, you highlighted a really important thing is that a big part of this is about this combination between the viewing experience, right? And then driving value to the creator. So, you know, ads are a big part of many, you know, UGC platforms. Mm. And in fact, creators on YouTube, that's how they make their money, right? Twitch is unique in that, you know, a significant portion of the money doesn't come from ads. They come from direct relationships. It's a real asset of Twitch. Mm. I do think ads is an important part for certain creators. As you grow, ads become a bigger part. I think you highlighted one of the problems. I completely agree that having pre-rolls when you're trying to find a new channel, I mean, I see them all the time and they annoy me. I surf around Twitch a lot.
Yeah.
Part of my, you know, in other words, part of my job is to look at a lot of different channels. And since I look at a lot of different channels as opposed to a small number I'm subscribed to, I see a lot of ads because as I'm moving around, in fact, I brought up your channel as we were going on because I figured, oh, let's have that live so I can see chat.
Yeah.
And I saw an ad. Okay. So one of the focuses that we have is to look at, I don't think that's the right experience when you're trying to discover new content.
Sure.
Okay. When you are looking and like, oh, let me check this out, and you're hit with an ad, and that inhibits you from going and browsing new stuff. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we currently have some tests going and we'll be rolling stuff out soon that really leans away from pre-roll ads when people are in discovery mode. Okay, now for some content, it's fine. It's very intentional. You know, when I go see an episode on Hulu and if there's an ad beforehand, I'm okay. I'm looking for the thing. So absolutely the case, we need to, you know, be smarter about where we use pre-roll ads. We need to provide our creators greater ability to pause and adjust ads as they create their content. Mm. A good example is when I'm out talking to creators, many of them, they say to me, you should make it so you can pause an ad when an ad break is coming up. And then I tell them they actually can. Mm-hmm. They just didn't know it because it was on Stream Manager and not something. And like, really? And we need to make that clearer and easier so that they know the ad's coming up. They can delay it or move it up. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's where a lot of our investment has been, because you as a creator know your content and you need to be able to figure out where is the right place for ads. As you grow, it's an important part. But if it's a bad experience and you don't feel in control of it and you don't know when it's happening, you know, then that's a problem. So it's absolutely a focus area. You know, one thing that we did last year was increase the rev share for people that are running a certain number of mid-roll ads. I think that was a hugely important thing for ads, because I think one of the challenges we had before was our creators didn't like ads because they weren't getting a big enough slice of the pie. Mm. And by increasing the amount of money you make from ads, now, I go out there and I talk to creators, and the difference from a year and a half ago is significant, because they're like, well, I'm making money from ads, so now I'm okay with it, whereas before, it just wasn't worth it. And so I think it's critical for us to improve the experience, but ultimately, it needs to drive value to our creators.
I appreciate that framing of that, because I think that that's important too. I think there's always the strata, right, that we think of when there is the, you know, for even for my channel, we'll use us for an example. We're a small channel in terms of our visibility and our and many people we have in and subs and all that kind of stuff. We are very, very small in compared to a lot of other channels in that respect. the thing that I find to be the hard space, and again, I'm an anomaly and I'm not going to blow smoke because it's the thing of like, I know I don't stream enough to get to the space to be able to get the kind of revenues that I see at, that a much bigger or a full-time streamer would be able to do. But I think that the push and pull that I have found has been when I am suggesting our show up to new folks who's, or folks who may not necessarily be as in tuned or aligned with gaming culture or with folks who are, you know, thinking about, you know, both the ones who are super familiar with the platform and the ones who aren't, the immediate question I get from them is like, well, why do I have to sit through all of these ads? Or you're in the middle of a really great conversation, and right in the middle of that conversation, we had an ad in that space. And even when, you know, we had it with the Spawnies in our first year, some of that conversation. My hope is that alongside some of the tweaking that you have in not only the ads manager and some of the other tools that are in that space, is that relevant ads are in there for us too, where I think I would prefer, and I know this is a little bit hard to do because there's a space between the ads layer of Twitch and the creator, right? Where we're not necessarily privy because that's a business part of the business vertical, right? We're not employees in that way. But I would love to be able to say, one, I'd like to make my own ads as things that I'd be able to do and then be able to monetize those in a certain way. It would say like, hey, I'm working with folks. We talked about AIP, or the AIP program has come up in the past couple of days or so. And I'm saying like, I want to run an ad for a company that I'm working with. I do that. I can use that in some form or fashion as a pre-roll or a mid-roll in our show as a way to kind of do something. So that one, you're building that brand affinity with the external partner that you're doing that work with. Two, it's a thing that you know your community is going to care about because you wouldn't have potentially taken that ad spot knowing that that's going to be in the mix. And three, it gives you another space to be able to monetize your stuff in a way that doesn't feel put upon the channel, right? In a way.
It's authentic.
It's authentic, yeah.
The key aspect you're highlighting, if you have an affinity with a brand and that brand has an affinity with you,
yeah,
and it is authentic in the experience that you're offering your community. By the way, that's much more valuable to the brand.
Yep.
And it's much more valuable to your community because you actually have. And so it's actually an area that we've started focusing on. You know, we call them sponsorships, ads. It's all in the same space. And how can we help our creators have more enhanced sponsorships that's integrated into the experience and more authentic in terms of your relationship with, you know, some third party? Often you might have a direct relationship with that third party.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we must just provide avenues for that to enhance the experience in a more authentic way. Right. And, yep. And that's absolutely a focus area. Cause I think you're absolutely right. That's a great area for our creators to be able to find new ways to, you know, generate revenue.
Yeah. I'd love to see something like that. I'd love to see ways to leverage front page activations in a bigger way too. I think the idea of, you know, just having a lot of eyes is fantastic, but if that doesn't necessarily pull into some form of monetization, that also would be really cool, especially for folks who are deciding to be a part of larger promotions, right? So we've had, you know, I've been a part of multiple Black History Month promotions over the years. We did one around podcasting for a year, and there were some great numbers that came in towards the space, but that's not a number that you can pitch to a potential client, right? Because we know that those numbers are inflated to a certain extent. But yes, you can say, hey, during the conversations that we had, or at least the spaces that we were in, there was an influx of people here. Let's figure out a way to be able to do that, not maybe through Twitch in and of itself, or if there's any other spaces in there. So I love the thinking there and sharing that bit of information as well.
And by the way, I'll call out, I'm watching the chat, and one thing that, you know, Will did 1990 points out, and some of the other folks, I think it's this blend, because the reality is we have many different types of users, right? Some people in chat mentioned Turbo, and yes, we need to make it for those people that Turbo is good for them. We have Turbo, let's make that better for them. For those people that sub, you know, let's make it better for them. And for those people that don't sub, for you as a creator, ads are an important way for you to still, you know, make money from them. So the reality is we have a bunch of different users, and we have to adapt that so that our creators can, you know, balance all those needs.
Totally. I want to roll into some audience questions that we got prior to you coming on today. And again, the chat has been wonderful today. You've all been fantastic. This has been really, really cool. You've all been killing it and knocking it out of the park. So we're going to talk about a couple of different things. I want to go back to discoverability. And Anonymous asks, thinking about Twitch discovery in the broader creator economy, where does Twitch stand on the equity of viewership distribution? And does it look at that as a part of their responsibility to its creators to lessen that gap on Twitch?
So let me ask you this, Kelly, because you talk about the equity of viewer distribution. There are many different interpretations. I just want to be one view is in terms of with respect to underrepresented streamers and underrepresented minorities, and is that your focus in this?
I think it's a multi-pronged thing, right? I think I can't interpret exactly what that person asked the question because that was from the audience, but I think that the crux of what they're asking for is twofold. I think the discoverability question is a big one that a lot of folks on the platform have been thinking about in terms of like the highest of highs and the lowest of lows and what the averages are in that space. So I think that's more in line to that. I think the conversation about underrepresented communities, that's a whole other basket that we can dig into around safety and a whole bunch of other things. And I'm happy Guilds got put out today as a part of that conversation too. But I think that's a big question about discovery and in terms of algorithms that are there.
In fact, I heard two different questions in there, and I wanted to figure which, so let me focus on the one which is about the general discovery question. Which I think this is one thing that we spend a lot of time thinking about and spend a lot of resources trying to figure out what's the right experience. We've invested a lot in improving recommendations on the homepage. Part of what we've been doing over the last few years is moving away from what I'll call straight popularity metrics for discovery, where the bigger get bigger. Okay. And that's because they're at the top. And so more people find the bigger. So then they get bigger. Because really that's, I don't think that's serving our viewers or our creators, that in fact, ultimately we want to, for any given viewer, we want to serve them, whoever is the best creator for them. And many of the creators that people end up finding the magic on is really our torso creators. I mean, it's really a very different experience. There's really two very different experiences on Twitch, right? There's one with these big creators where you're in a stadium, and there's one where you have a, 500 ACCV and you have this very visceral sense of community. And many of our viewers love these smaller communities that they become a member of and have a deep connection to. So we spent a lot on that. One thing to be aware of, though, that we're very conscious of, the very thing that makes us work, which is the fact that we give you a stage to perform on. I talk about this a lot. I talk about the idea of a stage, and your channel page is your stage. And 99% of the time people are on Twitch, they're on a channel page. They're on the creator stage. That's very different from TikTok. A creator doesn't have a stage on TikTok. They loan you their stage for a brief moment in time, for 40 seconds, and then they swipe and they see another creator, and then they swipe and they see another creator. So everyone here, think about how many creators you see in a week if you use TikTok. Most people say 1,000, right? As like a guesstimate of how many. Now, for those of you that use Twitch, of which I think most of this audience are probably hardcore Twitch users, in a week, how many creators do you spend time with? Right. The answer I get ranges between like 10, 12, 15. Okay. That is what makes community work so well on Twitch, is that we're not distracting you. Okay. One thing I talk about when people talk about YouTube, I think we're very different than YouTube. I think the reason our creators care so much about Twitch is because we create a place that focuses on the live streamer. So if you're live streaming on YouTube, you're on the watch page and they have related videos and there's all this stuff to distract you to say, hey, come check out this funny VOD, right? On Twitch, that is why everyone experiences the community experience on Twitch. So it's something we absolutely are investing in and are thinking a lot about. How can we make it easier for our creators to be discovered? But at the same time, and this is one reason why we often do things to help you also use other platforms. We don't view them as competition. We view TikTok as enhancing for Twitch as a creator, you should, one of the things we're doing is working on making it easier for you to export your clips and edit them for short form. And so, yes, it's important, but at the same time, part of our magic is that we keep people on that page, engaging with their creators. And we're very clear that we need to keep doing that because that is what makes Twitch so special.
I do. I agree with that, Lair. And I think that the part that I find the most interesting is the VOD first versus live first conversation. I think that, you know, those are two different philosophies based on the platforms in those ways. I do think there's a space in there, too, that I would say is hard for a lot of folks who are trying to figure out. They don't see parity yet in terms of the conversation and monetization. There's that layer of what I think people, if you you know, poll the audience or you poll most folks who are like doing this as their job, they're like, man, I wish we could have parity within that conversation. I think there's also a layer in terms of, you know, and a great question that came in from that speaks to this comes from Call Me Aurelius, and they say, one of the biggest conversations recently has been payouts and expected streaming schedules to make an earning. With competition emerging like Kick and YouTube with more competitive pay structures, how does Twitch expect to keep streamers and fans on the platform? What's the incentive? That's a great question. I think the for folks who are not only new to it, who are just starting their streaming career and starting into that space, and the folks who have been doing it for a long time and seeing some of that change, from a pay equity, pay parity, I'm not going to say pay equity because that's different, but pay parity layer of that. And I'll add this layer because I think this is important, where partner contracts are ones in which you're fairly locked in terms of like what you can stream, when you can stream it. There is a little bit of a delay, like a 24-hour delay in some of that stuff, but there is still a layer of locking you into your contract with the platform. Do you feel like that's also going to be a conversation that's going to be potentially changed, where the idea of we want you to be here and we want you to stay on our platform as this is your primary one and you can do whatever you want with other places to make sure that you're getting that financial support? Or does it feel like, you know, when you're thinking about and talking to those streamers who you're meeting out in the world, that they're coming to you and saying like, this is maybe even not financially tenable for me as a creator to stay on platform in the same ways that I did before?
Yeah. So you brought up a number of points, all I think very important. So let me try to jump through a few of them. First,
sure.
Our old contract for the partner contract did have an exclusivity provision, right? And they also had the 24-hour, VOD provision, right? Which in terms of the exclusivity provision, that is something that we went publicly. I was not a fan of that provision. And that's one thing where we went out and we actually publicly said we are not enforcing that provision and that you do not have that exclusivity provision. Now, okay, for those people who feel like, oh, well, isn't that risky for Twitch? The answer is, well, of course it's risky. But we did not, the same reason that you said that, you know, we said we did not feel that for all of our partners, if we, you know, if you have some special deal, I think maybe it makes sense. But for all of our partners, we said we are not, you know, we are not doing that. We do want to prohibit simulcasting because we do think simulcasting hurts the experience on Twitch for the community on Twitch. We want you to focus on that community. But and same thing in terms of moving away from any restrictions after your stream, because I do not think that's the right thing. Okay. We're also moving away. We're going to be announcing this soon, but we're doing a contract migration where we move away from these terms. Because another thing that limits you is the fact that you sign a partner contract and then it's a year-long term or something like that. And we're going to a much more of a services relationship, which we'll be coming out and talking about in terms of making sure. I do think that is much more creator-friendly and the right thing. But then you go to the other point that makes us that ultimately the reason you're streaming here, it needs to be because we are the best place for you to build and engage with your community. Okay. And as you talk about, you know, equity or other things, ultimately what matters is, are we the best place for you to make a living? And to the extent that our creator, we have creators that can't do that, right? That's something we obviously need to keep looking at. Okay. I'm particularly aware of what I will call is the middle class or the torso, the ones that are just getting to where they can maybe go full time, right? and how can they get over the hump to like really commit this to their life? Because if you're streaming 15 hours a week and then you have another 20 hour a week job, that's tough. And ultimately, I think the thing that makes Twitch work is our torso, the smaller streams. I think that is part of the magic. And so, yeah, that puts pressure on us to make sure we're delivering value. And we listen very closely to say, what do we need to do to make sure we can run this service sustainably, but also deliver values to our creators so that they can make a living.
I love that answer. And I'm trying to get to the torso. I'm around the kneecap and thigh meat area right now. I'm not at torso level yet. I'm trying to get to torso right. level. I'm trying at knees. No, and thighs.
You're a perfect example. Khalif, you're a perfect example. And I noticed it's interesting. I pulled out Ray Apollo said, content creation is hard. It is. The interesting thing that is often lost in this is, you know, as I mentioned, my brother's an actor. I know a number of people that are in other creatives. My nephew's an artist. My uncle was a sculptor. The reality is, if you look in any creative endeavor, it is hard. And in fact, you know, for every actor that is successful, there are hundreds of actors that are trying to get there. Okay. And that is actually what's beautiful about the field, because so many people are passionate about it. And that is really true when you talk about live streaming. The difference is, as opposed to acting where there's no one place where everybody's acting, it's in a ton of movies and a ton of theaters, or musicians where they're all over the place. For live streaming, it's Twitch. Okay? And so we have all sorts of people that have dreams. Okay? And, you know, that puts a lot of pressure on us. And I think the thing that's so unique about Twitch is Twitch matters to our community. Okay. And that's why they speak up so much. You know, you talked about the layoff when YouTube had one. I didn't hear anyone talking about that in the Twitter sphere. They didn't care. Okay. And TikTok, they don't care. They do care about what happens at Twitch. And that's because we are a much more focused, smaller community. And so there's a very high standard for us, and we need to meet that standard because we matter in their lives. Yeah. And I think that is the thing that is most central to me. Is we matter in our viewers' lives more so than the other platforms because of the emotional connection they have to our creators. And we matter in our creators' lives. And that puts a lot of pressure on us in terms of the responsibility we have.
Nice, nice. I know we're running close to time, so I'm going to ask you a couple of more questions before we let you go. I do have a heavy question because I think it's important to dig into, and it's around safety. So we've seen some incidents happen within the gaming industry of late at various events and conferences. GDC, Game Developers Conference, had some incidents where women were drugged at their event. This is a thing that we've seen across the industry happen over multiple years and decades, is a thing that we've cared about. And we've even seen some unsavory things happen at previous TwitchCon events. With Twitch Paris coming up and with especially Twitch Vegas coming up, which is a big party town, you know, drinking is allowed and encouraged in lots of different ways in those spaces. Are there any thoughts or what are the thoughts and kind of ideas that y'all are thinking about from that perspective of making sure that people have really safe times at these events coming up, and especially the ones happening in Vegas?
Yeah, so it's interesting. There are a few parts to this. So first of all, you know, as you talk about safety in both some of the events. Yeah. One of the things that's important, and you know, this is, I think, I don't know how much people are aware, you know, we were one of the first platforms to have a very clear off-service policy where in fact behavior off our platform could influence your ability to use our platform. And most platforms are like, well, the only thing you can get in trouble on is what you do on our platform. Yeah. And that was related to safety. And you talked about the issues in gaming, because this came out where it's like, look, there are issues here. And just because you're doing it somewhere else doesn't make it okay. Okay. And so we still take that very seriously. And it's not just about what's on our platform. Of course, the events are exceptionally important, and which is one reason why we take that into account, your off-platform behavior. Because if you're coming to one of our events, right, just because if you did something off-platform, well, then that may affect our community at our events. Okay. So we have a fairly high standard there. We have a high standard in terms of, you know, who can come to the events. And we also have a significant team that spends a great deal of time looking at safety. Okay. We learned from last year's TwitchCon in terms of some of the, displays and us needing to do more. And so that's one thing we're doing. And I think it's really important. And, you raise Vegas. I think we just have to be very conscious about having resources to protect, our creators, and especially as they come, they're exposing themselves to the audience. And I think it's different than other platforms, because when you're live streaming, it's very intimate. It's very immediate. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you post on TikTok or Instagram or YouTube, there's this distance that exists because it's offline. And so I think this is something that we need to invest even more on than anyone else.
No, I appreciate that. Again, I think I know many, many folks who are on those event teams, have many, many friends in the Twitch spaces, and I know how much they care and how much they are working really hard to make sure that people are having good experiences in those ways and feeling safe when they can go to an event and seeing that stuff. I know we both are big fans around technology. I know, one of your former places of work was NASA, and getting a chance to work there. I will not ask you right now about where all the aliens are buried, because I do want to know. But there's an interesting space that we find ourselves in terms of technology. AI is really, really taking off in a lot of different ways. And I think that Twitch as a space for advancement in terms of uses of technology, we've seen so many different layers of stuff between folks like Sushi Dragon going wild with all the things that he's built. And we are seeing so many folks in the cosplay space and other places doing a lot of fantastic work there. I think in the AI layer of all of this too, there is a potential for an uprooting and a kind of bubbling up of more potential disinformation popping up on the platform. And especially with us having, the platform having a foundation with a viewer base that's very, very, very young. How worried are you about the kind of connectivity between potential new technologies, disinformation, and how that could find a place on Twitch that is new? And it's kind of like this is the fertile ground for some of that new spaces, those new spaces to kind of take off.
Yeah, so you bring a few things, and I think there are different answers for them. First of all, in terms of misinformation and disinformation, I don't think Twitch is as prone as other platforms. Sure. Because the big thing there is about the viral spreading of the information. And often what happens is you have some small group that is spreading it, and then you have a whole lot of people that are just hearing it, and then they go, oh, did you hear this? Right. And so next thing you know, it's all over the place and everyone's talking about it. And that really is like the short form viral is exceptionally prone to that. For us, our creators engage in finding an audience, and it takes time to build your audience. So you hold that very dearly. OK, so we are not a great place for that. Now, your other question, though, is with AI, with all this technology, what does that mean? And one thing I always say, I don't know if you probably noticed this, but I have a PhD in AI, and I used to run, for those you mentioned, as NASA, I ran their AI and robotics program. So, also was involved with stuff at Google. And one thing I often say when people ask me about AI is people have all these forecasts of what's going to happen. And of any, if you take 100 of the things that aren't going to happen, like most of them aren't going to happen, but actually 5 of them will. I don't know which 5. I know most won't, but 5 or 10 of them will. And so trying to predict exactly what's going to happen, as all the, prognosticators do, I think much of it is just like fanciful things for something to talk about. And it's just like we can sit here and talk about, well, what if LeBron went and teamed up with Steph Curry? And we can go on and on about that, but it's not going to happen. Okay, so we don't really worry about it. The interesting thing with AI, I do think it'll be very interesting to see how our creators leverage generative AI.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep. You talked about Sushi Dragon. Well, of course, VTubers is really a technology thing. And VTubing is a very interesting phenomenon where these people can take on these other personas and be this other person and not be as exposed, but still have this intimate connection.
Yeah.
And so I do think it's, what happened with Never Forever, very interesting in terms of generative content on Twitch. Yeah. I think most of the interesting stuff will be our creators creating. It'll be interesting to see what happens. The one thing I know is there'll be some things that happen that we say, ooh, I don't know if that's good for our community.
Mm-hmm.
And then we will need to respond to that, because some things won't be good for our community. Many of the things will be entertaining and engaging and enhance our creators' ability to create content, okay, and engage and build their community. And that'll be the magical part.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. I mean, I'm a person who loves tech. I haven't been super down on AI, and I agree with you that there is a little bit of fear mongering in some of it, and there's some real concerns that are real in that space that need some addressing in some of those ways. I don't think we're at Skynet levels yet, but it will be cool to see how that kind of works. And for me personally, I think one of the most interesting things about, and I think, to be fair, I think Twitch dodged an interesting bullet over the past couple of years, where that layer of disinformation that could have been here because of the way that the platform works is better suited for YouTube in the way that works. But mm-hmm. when there was a start to kind of pull in, or at least more folks in the political sphere were thinking about using Twitch as a place to connect with younger voters and connect with more of the people that they want in their fold, there were a lot of folks who were coming to the platform to use it to start those streams and have those conversations. And in a weird way, them falling off the platform in the way that they did kind of helped that. Now that we see the easiest version of what that would be, let me get an AI version of AOC on here, and someone make her say some wild stuff on the platform, and then that gets bubbled up and pushed out. No, so in a weird way,
that's a good example. Like, you know, in other words, what can happen that I think is a problem if someone is having someone come on, and their audience thinks it's actually the person when it actually isn't the person. I think that's a real problem. Now, we've had folks where they do it and they identify so that you know this is a, you know, they're doing interviews with these different streamers and it's interesting and fun and you know it's not the streamer. Okay. But I think that's a, you know, and if that were to happen, however, we need to respond because I think that is, you know, not beneficial to our community.
Yeah.
Right.
No, I totally agree with that. I think, you know, if someone's out there making a metahuman of me, don't put it on here talking about how I can't cook and all this other kind of stuff, because that's fake news. We're not going to have that on the platform. Before we let you go, I'm going to give you the stage and let you share anything, any thoughts, any sentiments. We have a bunch of folks in the chat here about, you know, what you're most excited for in the upcoming years and at least some things that you're forecasting and seeing that you really want the folks at home who are listening and watching to know.
Yeah, so I think that's a great question. We've touched on many of these, right? So I'll do it in two areas. First of all, me personally, I'm very excited about getting out there and listening and engaging more. So, you know, Khalif, this is the first stream we've done, but I've, you know, stated I'm very open to engaging. Yep. That's one reason why I'm streaming myself regularly. Like, people should feel free to come and, you know, some of the part of my job is to appreciate how difficult it is to stream. And by doing it, I experience, you know, what all of our creators experience. And I think that puts an onus on us, as I said. You know, I'm excited about a lot of feature. I'm excited about improvements we can make to Guest Star. I mean, the one thing we didn't talk about, I think for me, one of the things that will make Guest Star really useful is when it's easy for streamers to collaborate together while they're live streaming. So the analogy I use at the Twitch partner party in San Diego at last year, Esfan TV was sidecasting the Thursday Night Football.
Yeah.
And everyone was hanging out on the couch and streamers would come in and hang with him and then walk away and other ones would come and hang with him.
Yeah.
And then you'd get a big group and you'd get different groups and then they'd walk away. Okay. I'm excited about making it so that if you're hanging out streaming, somebody you know can come and knock on the door and come and hang with you for a little while. And another streamer can see that you two are hanging out and say, let me go jump in and hang with them. Okay. It's kind of like what happens in like a dorm room, commons room. It's just like people come together, people split. Okay. And it, right now, I think we have work to do to get it to where that can happen. But I think that idea of our creators, you know, we talk about discovery. Ultimately, where people spend their time is on the channel page. Yep. And the best way for people to be discovered on Twitch is for us to allow our creators to collaborate together. Mm. Because it's through you engaging with another creator that somebody says, oh, they're interesting. Let me go check out their stream. Right. And so I think that's an area I'm very focused on, things that we can help our creators collaborate more, because I think that is the foundation for discovery on Twitch. So, yeah. You know, with that, I guess, there's always a list of other things. But sure. I think I'd end with this point that, as I said, I think we matter to our community. And the onus is on us to think about how can we keep creating a product that allows our creators to create.
I have to say, again, thank you for being here with me today. It is amazingly refreshing to see and to hear, you talk about this in this way and Twitch brass talk about the platform and the community in this way. I think it's important for a lot of folks who are not only in our audience, but folks who will see this on when we put this up on the podcast platforms and on other platforms as well for VODs, that they also get to be able to hear this conversation in this way from someone who's really helping to make all of this move in that way. My hope also in that, and really interestingly enough, I used to work on one of the teams on the back end who used to help make Thursday Night Football work when I was AWS Elemental, when I was working there. So it's interesting to see those things dovetail when talking about that. We need to get the NBA on here, dagnabbit. That is my hope, Dan. We got to get the NBA in a deal. Come on, I need it. I need to co-stream some NBA games. But
all right.
We'll figure it out.
If you want, my suggestion, as opposed to co-stream the NBA games, sidecast them.
Yeah.
If you have a community, the problem is getting all the NBA games on Twitch. That's just like that whole everyone. And you want your audience to do it. If you sidecast them, then your audience all knows different ways to get to the NBA game. Yeah. Some have this, some have that. So if you want to hang and watch an NBA game, people have a phone and they have their TV. They put it on their TV and they're sitting with you on their phone. So give that a try. I think it doesn't work perfect, but I think that's better actually than all the complexity.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. We'll make it happen. I'll figure out. Let me go ask ChatGPT how to make that work. We'll see how to make it happen.
Yeah.
Well, Dan, and
let me just call out to everybody in chat. I know I wasn't able to. I know one person asked. So my Twitch channel is DJ Clancy. Okay, because I saw. I think Luke Adrian asked that. And to everyone else, thanks for everything. Of course, it's tough to talk and re-chat. Yeah. And the beauty of having to do this is it highlights, for all of our streamers, they have to game, talk, and re-chat. And that, makes my mind hurt. And I still don't have the skill that our streamers have to be able to re-chat while they're talking. But thanks for all the comments. I wish we could have called out more in chat. Because I think ultimately that's a big part of what Twitch is about is the people in chat being heard.
Well, here's the deal. That just means you got to come back on the show and come hang out with me some more. We'll have more conversations about how all of it works and it will make it happen.
Well, Khalif, especially you need to do it where once we get guest star, we can just hang together.
Yeah.
You know what we can do is I can be streaming and we just schedule a time and we'll just come hang.
Bet.
And then it'll be very impromptu, less formal. Doesn't need to be planned. It'll just be hanging. Then we can talk about the NBA or whatever's happening.
I'm totally down. I'll send you my info.
We can sidecast one of the – if you're a Knicks fan. Okay, here we go, Khalif.
Here we go.
As a Knicks fan.
Yes.
Because let's see. I'm trying to think of where the Knicks are 4-5. So, of course, the Knicks have to beat the Bucks if they're going to play the Celtics.
Yeah.
So – the odds are against there being a Knicks-Celtics game. Okay, but Khalif, if there is a Knicks-Celtics finals, then we need to go ahead and sidecast and watch it together.
Even if your Celtics make it, we should still do it. I'll help cheer for you on your side, and I'll be mad about it all during the whole time, but it'll be fun. Dan, thank you so much for being here. I really do appreciate the time and coming through and hanging out. And again, thank you everybody at home for listening. We're going to let you go and I'll talk to chat before we end the stream. So again, Dan, thank you so much for being here. And we'll definitely let's find a way to chat again soon and get together.
I love good, Kelly. Thanks for having me.
All right, my friend. You be well. You have a good rest of your day. All right, everybody in chat. Yo. That was pretty fun. That was pretty awesome, I gotta say. you know, Dan was really amazing for coming on and hanging with me. You know, massive love and shout out to the folks behind the scenes at Twitch who made this happen. I think there was a lot of great information within that conversation, and I hope that, although sadly we weren't able to get to everything because of just time and all those bits, you know, it's really, again, refreshing to see folks who feel like they get it. I think one of the conversations that we've seen over the years around Twitch is that there's been this kind of like faceless part of the business that hasn't really kind of like made its way into a space that's felt like there's some connectedness to, you know, the things that we care about as streamers and content creators and the platform itself. And it was really, really cool to have Dan come on and hang out with me to talk about, you know, things that they're seeing and conversations about the ways that the future of the platform can be. So I hope that you all had a really good time in chat. I hope you all had a really great discussion layer there. I'm, again, reading through some of the pieces of chat right now and rolling through it. And again, I think there'll be ways that we can talk about this, not only on Spawn on Me moving forward, but also in the conversation space online. Again, if you think we did a great job, let people know, subscribe to the channel, share it out, give it some love, do all those things. We're usually here every Wednesday night doing a stream. We're determining where that's going to go because there's some conversations that have to happen in terms of that. But it means a ton to have had each and every one of you here with me today to talk about all the conversations that have come through and again, things that we are really paying attention to as folks who want to work here and do really good work on the platform and in the spaces of, you know, sharing our collective voices and sharing the things that we care about as players and viewers and all those things in between. So I have to go back to work. It is the beauty of being in that kneecap and thigh meat area as a content creator is sometimes you have to go back to work after you've had a really dope conversation with the head of a multinational company. So we're going to end the stream here. Again, thank everybody for rolling through. You know, we'll be back a little bit later in the week. We'll have another episode up and we can talk more about it. Come by, talk about what you felt. And please, if you had a good time here, share it out on Twitter. That's where most of our viewers are kind of coming in from and having those conversations there. And we'll see you all very, very soon. Make sure you check us out at Khalif Adams on Twitter, at Spawn on Me on Twitter. Is a place that you want to go to check out my random machinations and random conversations that I'm having over there about all things in the world. And make sure you're checking out the podcast proper on all podcast platforms around the globe called Spawn on Me. We're in our 10th year of doing this work, and it's been a blast serving all of you for that decade plus. So until then, we'll see you all. Have a wonderful rest of your Wednesday. Have a wonderful rest of your week. Hopefully I'll see some of you at TwitchCon. It won't be at Paris. I'll be at Vegas because Paris is too far. But hopefully we'll all see you soon. Much love to you all, and we'll see you all soon. Peace.